I seriously need somebody to come clean this fucking place up.
Just on the border of your waking mind, there lies another time. Where darkness and light are one. And as you tread the halls of sanity, you feel so glad to be unable to go beyond. I have a message from another time.
I have a message. The message is that I'm right, you are wrong, fuck you. That's the fucking message. Alright, found him. I have my notes. We're good to go. The office is a disaster. Just saying. What is this shit? Oh, this. I will talk about that. Hi, what's up? I'm the great one. I'm the founder. Very, very tired. It's been a long couple of weeks. It's going to be a longer couple of upcoming weeks. You may get some repeats on the podcast in the near future. We'll see how it goes. Today is the 10th of November in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer, 2017. It is. What time is it? What time is it? That's a good song. What time is it? We're staying in time. I can't talk yet. It's 10:45. I got me an Upslope blood orange Saison beer in my hand. We're going to do a podcast. Well, I'm going to do a podcast. You're going to listen to it. Why are you going to listen? I don't know. Why are you listening to this? I don't know why I'm listening. Wait, it's because I'm fucking awesome, that's why. Never mind. I understand exactly why you're listening. I got more fan mail. Thanks, guys. I will read it. We're not doing fan mail today. But so this is my latest groove that I've been listening to over and over and over. Called White Skies. It's by the band Sunscreen. It's off their album Change or Die. Change or Die. Wait, oh yeah, Natural Selection. That's what that is. There's a reason I'm playing this song today. Don't cry, snowflakes. Don't cry. It's going to be okay. No, really, don't cry. I'll get you some tissues. We can make a safe space. We can make your little fortress out of boxes and blankets and tissue paper. Winter ends in vain. Winter is coming. Snowfalls out of season. We did have snowfall here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. I had to choose. April's all confused. Love is blind to reason. Love is blind to reason, and April is very confused. I know April. Actually, in December, I'll be working my ass off. But you see, this is an important song to play because you may hear this and you think, oh, she's singing of Meet Me Under White Skies. You may be thinking she means because it's December, it's snowing, the sky is white. For those of you who live in places that don't have snow, oh, we're lucky you. But the snow is so beautiful.
Never ask me why.
Yeah, in pictures. Snow sucks balls.
Don't bury those words and don't cry.
So you may think that by under white skies, she means the white skies of December because it's snowing. No, 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 wrong. See, this is actually a song about white supremacy. See, she's saying that the white people should be in the sky, that we white people, because we are superior, should be living in the sky and looking down upon all of you other colored people because you're inferior to us. See, Sunscreme is actually a neo-Nazi band, and they are all about white supremacy. Because you see, everything's about white supremacy. Every fucking thing that happens is white supremacy. Just, it's all, everything is white supremacy. Oxygen is fucking neo-Nazi. If you breathe, you're a white supremacist. Paper, right here. My notes are written on white paper. This is white supremacy. Holy shit, look, toilet paper. Toilet paper is white. White supremacy. I have gaff tape. Gaff tape. White gaff tape. I have right. White supremacy. Look, this marker has a white background with black writing on it. White supremacy. Holy shit. This Sprayway World's Best Glass Cleaner. The spray can is white. White supremacy. The charger for my electric toothbrush is white. White supremacy. Everything is white fucking supremacy. The white supremacy, it can be found everywhere. It's like the patriarchy. It's every place. It permeates all things. If you are a fucking loser, if you are a failure, if you shouldn't be alive, but you are alive because the government has circumvented natural selection and given you welfare and food stamps, you can blame everything on white supremacy. Ah, Sieg Heil, Heil Hitler. Ah, God, white supremacy. White supremacy, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Actually, we're going to talk about movies. As you know from the title of this podcast, you already know what we're going to talk about. So let's start with this one. Because I've been busy as fuck. I'm going to be busy as fuck. I got to do theater gig tonight. I got a bunch of shit to do. Oh, you can send me email. If you want to send me fan mail, God, dog spelled backwards, God, at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. Okay. Let's start with, because it's the easiest one to deal with, let's start with Rogue One. I watched Rogue One. Got it on DVD because I don't go to the movies because I can't afford... Well, I can. I'm not going to spend $12 going to the movies. Watched Rogue One. Is a piece of shit. Not because of... Because, oh, there's a thing. I'm on the interwebs, right? And the manosphere and the right-wingosphere and all this other stuff. And I'm reading all this stuff about how the new Star Wars movies, Rogue One and Force Awakens, are all anti-white man and anti-Donald Trump and pro-feminist and all this other. Okay, you guys know. You saw all the shit. You heard all the shit. Yada, 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 yada. And I could hurt some feelings here. But unlike many of the right-wingers who talked about how these movies are all hating white men and diversity and shit, I actually have now watched the movies. And I am here to tell you that, yes, and I saw the thing where the people who did Rogue One said, well, we modeled the Empire after Donald Trump and white supremacists and all this other stuff. Okay, I get it. They, the people who made Rogue One, were attempting to make a anti-white person propaganda movie. Okay, fine. As they often do, because they are left-wing statist, they are collectivist, they have low testosterone and low intelligence, they failed. I watched the movie. Once again, guys, you know me, okay? This is the great one. This is the person who says women shouldn't be allowed to have jobs, own property, or vote. Okay? This is the guy who says that you should have to take an intelligence test to vote. This is the guy who says we should get rid of democracy. This is the guy who says white people in most ways are better than everybody else except for maybe Asians. Okay? This is me. White. I've been called racist, white. This is me. I watched Rogue One. I was looking for the messages of white supremacy. I did not see them. For those of you who are saying this movie is anti-white man, maybe you should watch the fucking movie. And if you can point to me the exact moment where you see the anti-white man, please feel free. If I am wrong, if I missed it, because we'll talk about that. If I missed it and there's some anti-white man shit in there, I will be more than happy to say, oh, look, that's anti-white man shit. Here's the number one problem with Rogue One. It's not the fact that there were no white men. It's the fact that the movie just fucking sucked. It sucked. Number one, it was dark. Not dark as in mood, not dark as in morals. And it was dark as in, hey, when you're filming the fucking movie, can you get some lighting on the set so that I can fucking see what's going on? The other problem is that it just wasn't interesting. While watching Rogue One, and this is what I'm going to tell you, I might have missed something. While watching Rogue One, I was also cleaning my bookshelf because my television sits right here. So look right in front of you. Pretend my television is there. Yes, I know. I watch movies on a television because I'm old. I don't watch them on my computer. Excuse the fuck out of me for not being a millennial. I look at the computer screen enough. You know what else? I have an actual DVD player. Holy shit, I know. It's like I am so fucking old. Anyway, but yet I'm not a fucking loser. I wonder if there's a correlation. Anyhow, television is right there in front of you. So to the left, to your left, there's a bookshelf right there that has books, but also this collection of shit. Because I'm the sort of person, if I have a flat object, it like attracts shit. It's like, oh, there's a flat place. I can stack stuff there. Hence explaining my office, which if you could see it right now, there's shit fucking everywhere. And I really just need to take all of this, sweep it into a pile, and throw a match on it. That would be the ultimate final solution. Oh, final solution! Hitler joke, yes! See, I'm a white supremacist, guys. I am fucking as white supremacist as they get. And then that's in the corner, and then you turn the wall to the left. There's another little shelf there that's designed for holding CDs. And yes, I know the great one has CDs still. Yes, that's how old I am. There's this little shelf that's designed for holding CDs and DVDs and, my God, VHS tapes, which I still have some of those also. That's how old I am. And that has also become a collection space for assorted shit. So anyhow, what happened was I took some shit. I had shit. Then I have shit underneath the couch. Okay, because there's a space under there. It's technically a futon. I call it the couch. So there's these storage bins that slide under there, which were also full of shit. So I pulled one of those out. I took the shit out of the storage bin and filed that away in the dumpster so that I could go get it later if I need it from the fucking garbage dump. Then I took all the random stupid shit, like, and not stupid shit, like, for example, my coloring pencils and all this other stuff. All of the shit came off of the bookshelf and went into the storage bin. And then the DVDs, because that's on the other little shelf, because that's where I keep my South Park DVD collection and my Star Trek DVDs. Star Trek, the original series, don't talk to me about any of the others because all of those are dead to me because they're bullshit. So I got the DVDs on the bookshelf because once I got all the shit that's not books off the bookshelf, suddenly the bookshelf magically had a whole lot of space on it. The end goal is to take the little shelf over here that's designed for DVDs and CDs and to just get rid of that and free that space up because then I can put my weights there because the weights are more, not in the center of the room, but the weights are taking up space because I lift weights. Sometimes. I haven't done it in 2 fucking weeks because I've been working my goddamn ass off. And that will continue in the near future. So anyhow, as I was watching Rogue One was so fucking terrible, so boring, so cliche, so uninteresting, so completely uninspired as a movie. It has nothing to do with even the politics, guys. We're not even talking about the politics. I'm just talking about as a fucking movie. I mean, I've watched movies that had political messages shoving down my throat that I completely disagreed with, yet the movie was engaging that I would sit there and watch the entire thing. This movie, no, God, Rogue One is fucking terrible. I was doing house cleaning while, quote unquote, watching the movie, which is why maybe I missed the white men are racist part. Maybe I didn't see that fucking 15 seconds of the movie that you guys located that makes you think this was a fucking anti-white man movie. It was not an anti-white man movie, guys. It was just a giant piece of shit. Now, the things that I recall seeing on the interwebs is that, okay, so everyone in the Empire is white because it's a white supremacist organization. Then all of the rebels who go to get the information that is going to allow us to destroy the Death Star, why, they're all minorities. And so that was supposed to be the anti-white person part. Hey, look, I watched the movie, 80% of it, 20% of the time I was cleaning the bookshelf. Here's what I saw. And there's no sarcasm here. Here's what I saw. Okay, you've got the Empire. It's this giant military bureaucracy. There were no, you know, you have like Governor Charkin and you've got Darth Vader and then you've got the scientist who's in charge of the project to build the Death Star weapon and all this other stuff. So you have all of these essentially C-level positions. For C-level means like CEO, CFO, right? The upper echelons of management. And you've got all these stormtroopers running around. You have no idea what color they are because they're all wearing stormtrooper outfits. And I'm trying to remember, Captain Plasma was in the other movie. Okay. We'll get to Captain Plasma in a minute. All of the leadership positions within the Empire were filled by white people. So that was supposed to be the white supremacistness. When the Great One saw this, here's what the Great One saw. The Great One saw a giant bureaucratic organization where you don't have diversity officers and people who are in charge of organizing parties. I'm listening to a edition of Marketing Over Coffee podcast, just finished it. I may have to do this one on the podcast because he's interviewing this chick who basically her job at this company is to organize people getting together and painting pictures and playing foosball and shit like that, right? She's like the party officer. Like, that's her entire job, right? Because organizations have this now. What do you call it? They call it like chief culture officer or some shit like that, right? Because people who work for companies now don't have a life outside of the company, which is also fascinating to me because, so you have these companies where you want your employees to hang out after work and do things together like drink beer and play tag football and paint pictures and shit, and yet in this very same company, if at one of these extracurricular activities, if a man were to ask a woman, would you like to go out on a date, he would then be accused of sexual harassment, fired, and his entire life ruined. That just fascinates the shit out of me, that the companies are actually trying to create circumstances under which men can be accused of sexual harassment and rape. But I'll save elaborations on that for later, because we're talking about movies right now. Although it does really relate, because after watching Rogue One, I felt as if I had been ass-raped. It was that fucking bad. So anyhow, you've got the Empire. And you've got all these C-level executives, you know, Governor Charkin and Darth Vader and the scientist in charge of the project. There were no diversity slots. There was nobody there to organize parties for the stormtroopers. So basically, the Empire is an organization where you rise to the top based on merit. It is a meritocracy. Okay, here comes the racism. I'm going to show you guys what real racism looks like. Are you ready? Here it is. You see, in an organization where you rise to the top via meritocracy, most of the people at the top are going to be white. And most of them are going to be men. There should be some Asians in there. It's going to be 80% white men. There's your fucking racism. Thank you. You're welcome. Okay, so Rogue One just reinforced the fact that, yes, in a meritocracy, only white men will rise to the top of the organization. Then, on the rebel side, the rebels were this diverse, and they're led by a woman and all this other shit. Okay, the chick was only there because she was the daughter of the scientist that they needed to kill. She wasn't there because she was super chick, or she had powers, or she could do the... They basically just used her. The Rebel Alliance, the leaders of the Rebel Alliance, used her because for no reason other than she's this guy's daughter. That was it. When you look at the scenes at the Rebel base, you see the leaders of the Rebel Alliance. You see the one chick who's mouthing off a lot and appears to be in charge. She's a white chick. You see a couple of other guys who appear to be the leaders. Like there's this guy who I think was supposed to be a character that was in the first movie also, but he's like an older white guy. He's got the white hair and the beard. He's a white guy. You got Princess Leia. Oh my God, the fucking CGI Princess Leia at the end of this movie was terrible. Like, that is the fakest looking thing I've ever... Couldn't you just hire an actress who looked enough like Carrie Fisher when she was 19 years old? All she had to do is deliver one line. The CGI was fucking terrible. Okay, so the Alliance. Everyone in the fucking right-wing-o manosphere is like, see, they're all diverse. None of them are white. It's racist against white men. Okay, here's what the Great One saw. The Great One saw the Rebel Alliance had white people in the leadership positions. The white people sent the brown people off to do the dirty work for them, while the white people stayed back at the base, nice and safe. Which is kind of like when I drive through the rich parts of town, or bike through the rich parts of town here in Fort Collins. You see houses, and there's white people in the houses, and there's brown people outside mowing the lawn. I have news for you guys. This movie was not anti-white supremacy. This movie was white supremacy. This is a white supremacist movie. This movie is fucking racist as fuck. Not against white people. It's racist against brown people. Rogue One told us that in a meritocracy, such as the Empire, only white people can make it to the top. In the Rebel Alliance, it was run by white people who sent brown people off to die for them. This movie is not racist against white people. If anything, it's racist against brown and black people. Maybe you guys on the right wing should watch the fucking movie before you criticize it. And maybe those of you on the left who thought you were making a fucking anti-white person propaganda movie, maybe you should fucking get some talent. Because your movie sucked on every level. Visually, it was sucked. The script was fucking terrible. The dialogue was cliche and stupid. Oh my God, we had the blind Asian monk who could beat everybody up with a stick. Oh, nothing cliche and racist about that. Why, that's totally original. And the best part is the stormtroopers all run towards him. Instead of just shooting him from a distance, which any fucking trained soldier would do, they all run towards him so he can beat them up. And the woman, again, the woman was marginalized. The woman was just there for no reason other than she was spat from the vagina of the woman who was married to the man they wanted to kill. She had no true purpose in the movie other than to just be the token female. Actually, for those of you on the right-wing manosphere, I don't recommend watching this movie because I'm telling you, it sucked fucking balls. It's terrible. Is there anything else I need to say about that? It was really bad. I'm not fucking bullshitting you guys. It was not a good movie. If you want, what the hell is, hang on a minute, I'll be right back. If you want to watch a movie that is what you think Rogue One is, watch Day of the Dead, the 1985 movie by George Romero. It's the third of his zombie movies. Okay, so this movie kicks off. I gotta put this somewhere. Where am I gonna? I'm gonna lose everything. It doesn't matter. Wherever I put it, I'm gonna lose it. I got a notification email this morning going, you haven't paid this bill, it's past due. And I'm like, sure I did. And I'm digging around in the piles of paper because it really is out of control around here. Which always amazes me. Like, how is it that when I'm never home is when the house gets the fucking most disorganized? Anyhow, I got this notification, I hadn't paid a bill. I'm like, sure I have. And I'm digging around and I found the fucking bill still in the envelope, unopened. I'm like, oh shit. All right. Anyhow, Day of the Dead. This movie is what you think Rogue One was. So it starts off, and so it's the zombie apocalypse, right? And there's this one woman in this military bunker with a bunch of men, and she's barking orders at everybody and yelling at them and telling them what to do and insulting their intelligence, and all of the military personnel are portrayed as these, you know, sleazeball evil scumbags. You know, the captain who's in charge, he's like this sociopathic bastard, because of course the military only gives officer commissions to sociopaths and stuff. And it's just like, okay, look, honey, in reality, zombie apocalypse, one woman, a bunch of men in a bunker, one of two things would happen. Either number one, you would be having sex with the alpha male, or number two, all of the men would be raping you and using you as a sex toy. But under no circumstances would the one woman in this bunker full of men, and she's fairly attractive, would she be running around barking orders at everybody, and all of these men with M16s be acting scared of her. So you want to see a movie that portrays white men as stupid and incompetent and women as the saviors of the species? Watch that movie, because this is George Romero's political agenda. I'm only 30 minutes into it. I mean, George Romero's fucking social, economic, political agenda, feminist fucking card waving, is just blatantly obvious in your face. Okay, watch that movie and you will see what you think Rogue One was. Rogue One was not in my face with hating white men or female supremacy or any other bullshit, because it was a terrible fucking movie. And if the leftist thought that was a movie that was rah-rah woman and rah-rah brown person and hating white man, you guys suck even worse than I think you did, because you can't even make a good propaganda film. I watched the movie looking for the part where you hated white men, and I couldn't find it. That's how much your movie fucking sucks. If the Great One made a movie about hating anyone, it could be brown people, black people, white people, women, men, Jews, retarded children, Muslims. If I make a movie and the agenda is spewing how much I hate somebody, oh, you're gonna fucking know it. Next up, The Force Awakens. Same thing. I had to endure you know, the fucking manosphere and the Twitterverse, hey, the movie, it's fempowerment, and the chick is awesome, and the men are all, and the only man is black, and on and on and on, and the fucking masturbating. Okay, unlike all of you, I watched the fucking movie. Number one, it was not a bad movie. Okay, was it as good as Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back? No. Was it better than The Phantom Plot? I mean, The Phantom Menace. Absolutely. Was it better than Episodes 2 and 3, the names of which I don't even remember because they're that insignificant to me? Yes. Was it as good as Return of the Jedi? I am not a big fan of Return of the Jedi. It just did not do anything for me. I hate the Ewoks. I hate the fucking, hey, let's go blow up Death Star again. It just, Return of the Jedi just did not have anything going for it other than Luke Skywalker, you know, becoming a full-fledged Jedi Knight, bringing his abilities to, what did I say, honing his abilities to a sufficient level that he was able to take on Darth Vader. He didn't, of course, he didn't win because he's still not that fucking good, but he got to the point where he had a chance against Darth Vader. So that sort of, that little story arc is good. The rest of Return of the Jedi, I just don't fucking care about. It just wasn't that good. The Force Awakens, was it a good movie? It was, I think, better than Return of the Jedi. This movie held my attention. I sat there, I watched it. I didn't do any fucking cleaning on the bookshelf. I paid attention to the movie. Yes, the new robot is stupid because they're just trying to sell more merchandise. Okay, so there's that. Okay, the Stormtrooper dude is a black guy. This was this giant point of contention. Okay, remember, I'm racist. I hate black people. I'm like the founder of the Ku Klux Klan. I shoot black people every morning before breakfast. All I do is run around hating black people. I am as racist as you can fucking get. Okay, the Stormtrooper was a black guy. So fucking what? Yeah. Okay, there are guys, and some of them are black. I don't understand why the fact that the Stormtrooper was black is an issue. Once again, if you can explain this to me, please do. You know, sometimes movies have characters in them that have black skin. I'm unaware how this is anti-white person. In the movie, he said that he was abducted from his home planet when he was young, and then I guess that's how, in this context, that's how they get Stormtroopers, is they go and grab people. They're not clones anymore. I don't know. I'm not enough of a Star Wars nerd to know all these nuances. Now, the Star Trek, I could wax eloquently about original Star Trek for hours, but I'm not that much of a Star Wars nerd. I like the Star Wars movies, but I'm just not that into it. All right, so apparently the Empire snagged him when he was a little kid somewhere and then raised him to be a Stormtrooper. Well, okay. How does his black skin factor into anything? I don't get it. I have no fucking idea where this is coming from. Okay, the character's black. Whoop-de-fucking-do. Before I forget, Stormtroopers, let's talk about Captain Plasma. Was that Plasma? Was that her name? Or Phasma? I mean, okay, yes, that was obvious, blatant fempowerment. There's two things going on here. Yes, they wanted to put a woman in a charge of all the Stormtroopers, which again, in reality, is not going to happen. There's not going to be a woman in charge of all the Stormtroopers. But another part of that, and she didn't have to be a woman for this, but another part of it is, oh, we need to create another new distinctive character that will allow us to sell more toys. When you're looking at Star Wars, you have to remember that there's always, everything that happens with the Star Wars franchise, the merchandising is always a factor. Maybe not the one factor, well, it's not the one factor. Maybe not the overriding factor, but it's always a factor. Okay, so this Captain Plasma was invented to sell more toys. Now, could Captain Plasma have been a man? Yes, in reality, would Captain Plasma be a man? Yes, but they chose to make Captain Plasma a woman. Okay, That one, I will give you, is fempowerment. That one is you go girlism. I give you that one. As I take another drink of beer. Fempowerment. Ray. First of all, let's get this out of the way. I would bang Ray. She's not super hot, but she's hot enough and she's pretty cute. Yes, I would do her. So I have some biases here because I'd stick my dick inside of it. Moving beyond that, here's what I heard on the interwebs. Oh, the fucking interwebs. Well, but Rey knows the Millennium Falcon better than Han Solo does, and she fixes it when he's not able to fix it. Okay, so I'm waiting for this moment. Okay, for those of us who have watched the fucking movie instead of just reading shit on the internet and believing it, here's what actually happened. Somehow or another, Han Solo lost the Millennium Falcon, probably gambling or something, to this guy on whatever planet Rey was on. I don't know what planet she was on. I don't care. And he had been sitting on this planet for a long time, and the guy who owned it had, because she alludes to this later, made modifications to it. So when Rey and the Black Storm, Finn is his name, the character's name rather, the Black Stormtrooper guy, when Rey and Finn are escaping the fucking planet because they're being chased by, what, the Stormtroopers. Oh, by the way, this is also a better movie because in this movie, they actually used lights to illuminate the scene so you could see what was happening. And there was a lot of cheesy dialogue, don't get me wrong. Ooh, lots of cheesy dialogue. But it also had some good lines in it, which unfortunately I can't remember any offhand, but there were some good moments. Oh, okay, before I forget, this too. We'll get back to the Falcon. So it's starting off, right? And I'm watching the movie. I'm looking for the anti-Donald Trump. I'm looking for the anti-white man. I'm looking for the Black Lives Matter. I'm looking for the you go girlism. I'm looking for the fempowerment. I'm looking for all of this stuff. Actively looking for it. And Finn and Rey first meet, and the Stormtroopers are chasing whoever they're chasing. I don't remember now. And, you know, Rey grabs where did he get these names from? Finn. I know where it came from in the movie, but please, come on, could you come with something? Anyway, Finn grabs Rey's hand and starts pulling her. He's like, come on, we got to get out of here. And she's all like, don't touch me. And I'm like, oh, here comes the feminism. Here comes the fempowerment, the don't touch me shit. Anyway, as the movie progressed and the characters continued to do their thing and develop a little bit and level out, it's like, okay, put yourself in this position. You're this chick. You're standing here, this guy, you've never seen him before in your life. And suddenly you're being shot at. And this guy grabs you and starts going, follow me, come this way. Saying to him, whoa, whoa, don't touch me, would be kind of a natural reaction, okay? Their interaction with each other started off a little rocky because they're just like, they're standing here and he's standing here and they go bang into each other and people are shooting at them. Not the best circumstances. Over time, it kind of levels out. Once again, being who I am, I'm looking at it going, oh, look, he's black, she's white. Of course they're going to fall in love and have sex because the white woman always has to get banged by the black man in the movies, right? Because I'm racist and sexist and homophobic and transphobic and acephobic and just phobic about fucking everything except heterosexual white men. And yet, at the end, you know, you got Finn and he's out because he got injured. And then there's Rey and she's going off to do whatever she's going to do. And I'm thinking, oh, she's going to kiss him on the lips. She's going to slide her tongue down his throat and all this other hot stuff. I mean, icky stuff. You know, and she like kisses him on the forehead and goes away because they became friends. Once again, you're in the situation. People are shooting at you. And of course, Finn went in to rescue Rey. That was a good moment when they get there on the planet where Rey is being held captive. And Han Solo's like, all right, how do we get in here? And Finn's like, I don't know. I worked in the fucking janitorial department. I'm only here to rescue Rey. And I'm like, oh, that's the virgin toes are turning out right now. Tuning out right now. Because, yeah, too, he liked the girl. He's going to go in and rescue the girl because he liked the girl. They went through shit together. They bonded. He's going to go. And then when they find her and Chewie says that it was Finn's idea to rescue Rey, and Rey hugs him, you know, and Han Solo comes over there and he says, escape now, hug later. Ah, that was a good moment. That was good. She's like, you came back here just to rescue me. And she didn't shove her tongue down. There's no kiss. They didn't bang. They didn't make babies. She just gave him a hug because it's like, you're great. You came to rescue me. There was no fempowerment, white people are evil shit going on here. None. I could not find it. Okay, back to, what was I? Oh, this Millennium Falcon. So The Falcon is sitting here on this planet, and this douchebag character owns it, and he's making modifications to it. Okay, so Rey is right here in the vicinity. Falcon hasn't moved in ages. Probably, I mean, she knew the ship was a piece of shit. Well, how would she know the ship is a piece of shit? She probably went onto it. Maybe she snuck onto it at night. I don't know, whatever. But she'd been on the ship. She knew that some modifications had been made and all this other stuff. So then they stole it. And then when they steal the ship, okay, they're trying to get away. And Finn is back there with the laser gun going, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And Rey is up in the front trying to fly the ship. And she's going, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. There was none of this. She jumps in the fucking cockpit and she knows exactly what to do. And she's flying away and she's totally confident because she's got a vagina. No, the character showed trepidation. The character was like nervous. The character was like, oh, fuck, can I fly the ship or am I going to kill us? So then they get up there, they're in space, blah, blah, blah. Han Solo shows up. They walk, we're home, Chewie. That was, whoever wrote that line should be shot. That was, no, that was cheesy as fuck. No, you guys need a fucking script editor, namely me, because I would have cut that line out. It was fucking retarded. What was I talking about? Oh, so anyway, then Han Solo's in the Falcon, they're trying to fly away, and he's trying to do stuff, and the shit's not working, and that's where Rey says, oh yeah, the other guy, he put some modifications on the ship, you gotta do this. All right. She didn't know the ship better than Han Solo. Okay, here's the thing. I got the impression from reading the right-wing manosphere shit from the people who didn't actually watch the movie that Han Solo was still flying around in the Falcon, and she just comes on it for the first time and magically knows the ship better than he does. No! What actually happened was the Falcon was on this planet where Rey was at. Han Solo had not seen the Falcon for so many years. The guy who owned the Falcon had made mechanical modifications to it. Under all of these circumstances, it's very possible that Rey had slipped onto the ship for whatever reason at whatever time, we don't know, and knew about these modifications, which Han Solo would not know about the fucking modifications because there's no way for him to know. It was not fempowerment. It wasn't. You guys are really fucking stretching things. Next assertion from the right-wing Virgin Toes was that it was fempowerment because Rey was able to hold her own in a lightsaber fight against the Darth Vader substitute. Okay, here's my problem with that. Finn also held his own fighting the Darth Vader substitute, and I think the main reason everybody could hold their own against the Darth Vader substitute is because the Darth Vader substitute was lame. He was not Darth Vader. He was not badass. Now here we've got the white guy. He's supposed to be the bad guy. He's supposed to be Darth Vader, but he's walking around. Oh, he's agonizing. Oh, my emotions. Oh my God, am I adequate enough? You know, he's having adequacy issues because he's not Darth Vader, and he thinks his penis is too small. He just needed some testosterone or something. Okay, yeah, he was kind of a wuss. Okay, by kind of a wuss, I mean he was a giant fucking wuss. That's why I didn't have a problem with Finn and Rey being able to mostly hold their own against him in a lightsaber fight, because I could hold my own against him in a lightsaber fight because he's a giant fucking wuss. Now, you could argue, well, the white guy who's the bad guy being a wuss, that's the anti-white man part. Maybe? But then again, okay. Well, he's Darth Vader's grandkid, so that means he can't... Darth Vader's grandkid. So his parents was Darth Vader and what's-her-face? That chick that everyone thinks is hot, and I don't... Natalie Portman, who's not that attractive in my opinion. So Darth Vader and Natalie Portman, two white people, banged. And then out of that came Carrie Fisher. And then Carrie Fisher and Han Solo banged. And out of that came him. And Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford are white people. So, yeah, he's not white because it's racism. He's white because his parents are all fucking white people. And then, I mean, how good of a parent could Carrie Fisher be? Because she's an alcoholic, or was an alcoholic. I mean, now she's dead. So, your mother is a fucking princess. Your father is a smuggler. And your grandfather is Darth Vader. Maybe you have a fucked up childhood. Then, here's another thing about this movie. Is we talk about this whole bit where... I don't even remember this person. I don't even remember the character's name. Again, this character was fucking lame. The character was lame. This was probably the lowest point, in my opinion, of The Force Awakens. The bad guy was just fucking lame. He was not Darth Vader level. Whatever his name was, there was this illusion about how he was training for the Force with Luke or whatever, and he ran away or what. Right, anyway, this is the movie we should have seen. That's the movie that should be made, is the story of how Han Solo and Princess Leia's son goes from the light side to the dark side. Okay, there's the movie that somebody should have made instead of Rogue One. Like, the money spent on Rogue One should have been spent making that movie instead, because that's an actual interesting occurrence. That would make a good movie. So somehow or another, he gets seduced to the dark side and yada, 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 and his feelings and emotions. Okay, I could see how that character could be conflicted. Is it anti-white man and fempowerment? No, I think it was just... And I think they were trying to create a character with depth by making him conflicted. I just don't think they succeeded. And he wasn't that good with a lightsaber. Well, he's not Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's not Darth Vader. He's just kind of a wuss. He's a beta male. The other thing that was tossed out is that Rey is able to develop her Force powers without all the training that Luke Skywalker had. Okay, once again, this one I'm going to give you because you're right. She's standing there, she does the thing, and she holds her hands out, you know, and she sucks the lightsaber. She force pulls, that's the correct term for it. She force pulls the lightsaber to her. And she is able to override the force pull ability of the Darth Vader wannabe. And also, when she's in prison, she does the mind trick on the stormtrooper and says, you know, you will release my bonds and leave the door open. And that works. So yes, she just magically manifests and utilizes the force powers without any training. Okay, here's my question though. Was this done deliberately out of empowerment, which is possible, or here's the thing, I think it's more likely that this was done simply because they needed Ex Machina's to get her out of these things. I think this was not so much a conscious decision that, oh, we're going to be you go girlism, as it was our character is in these circumstances, we've got to get her out. And we're too lazy to write a better escape, right? The Force... Hang on a second. The Force gave them a convenient Ex Machina to get her out of this stuff. I don't think that was a fempowerment thing. I just think, once again, that was very bad writing. No, she should have to go through a training. She should have to go through the journey of developing her Force powers just like Luke did. And this is a cliche nowadays, though, right? Is where people have these powers and they're inert. Is that the right word? Inert. And then they suddenly manifest, right? You know, they undergo, like in X-Men movies and stuff, the mutants, right? They have these mutant powers and they're not there. And then suddenly they just magically, spontaneously happen instantly. Because I think part of that is its short attention span of our society today. Nobody wants to see someone making the journey from point A to point B. We want to see the character just magically, want to see the character magically go from point A to point B. When the original trilogy was made, I think people wanted to see Luke Skywalker go on the journey. The writers of this just needed to get her from point A to point B really fast so they could shove the plot along because they couldn't write anything better. Thus, I think her sudden manifestation and mastery of Force powers was less about femme empowerment than it was about bad writing.